Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
This morning, we're talking about the life of a world changer. Now, when I say that word, world changer, who are some people that come to your mind? World changer. Jesus was a world changer. That's good. Maybe for others, you're thinking, you know, the man who walked on the moon for the first time, Neil Armstrong. Maybe it's a great president who changed our country like Abraham Lincoln. Maybe some of you are thinking of Jackie Robinson who changed the landscape of baseball for those of color. But what if I told you today that I am looking at a room full of world changers? What if I told you that I'm looking at men and women who God wants to empower and God wants to work through to change the world around them? Because it's true. He wants to use you. He wants to use the person next to you. He wants to use each and every one of us. Because the deal is this, you're not a world changer based on what you do. It's a matter of what you're doing with what you have. So I want you to turn to your neighbor to your left and say, hey, I'm looking at a world changer. Turn to your other neighbor and say, yo, you're my second choice, but you're still a world changer too. And what we're going to be doing is this morning, we're going to be looking at a story from the scripture that's going to help us understand this better. And honestly, it's one of the most famous stories in all of the Bible, one of the most epic stories. I mean, if it was a movie, it would be a blockbuster hit. I'm talking about Daniel in the lion's den. We'll be looking at Daniel chapter 6 as we look at this man by the name of Daniel, who was a world changer. What I'm going to do today, and just to kind of frame our time together, is in the life of Daniel, we're going to take a look at his life. We're going to see what happens. But there are three specific qualities that Daniel embodies. There's three qualities that he lives out that we need to take hold of if we are going to be the world changers that God has called us to be. So Daniel chapter 6, we're going to be picking it up with verse 1. Daniel 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. I want to take a look at verse 3 in the NLT because I like how it puts it. It says, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. You know, the first quality of a world changer that we see in the life of Daniel is that world changers prove they are capable. World changers prove that they are capable. Daniel was capable. In fact, scripture says that Daniel was one of the most faith-filled, faithful, courageous people in all of the Bible. You know, in Daniel's teenage years, just to give you a little background, what happened is the Babylonians, they came in and they invaded the country and they took him along with others. They captured them and they took them into their land. And so about 538 BC is where we find ourselves. So the Babylonians have been in control, and we see that over the first five chapters as we're watching history unfold. But when we come to chapter 6, what's happening is now the Persians have taken over the Babylonians, and now they are ruling, they are in control. Now, when it comes to Daniel, what's happened to him is when the Babylonians came and they took him captive, they stripped him of his identity, who he was. His nationality, everything about him. They even changed his name and they said, hey, you're no longer gonna be the guy that you were. We're giving you a new identity. They would try to force him to eat undefiled foods. They would try to do everything they can so that he would succumb to following their pagan culture and their pagan gods. And so they tried and tried, as much as they'd try to strip him of his identity, they tried even more to get him to follow their god. But what happens is, in every single situation, there were three different kings that Daniel was underneath, but every single time what you see is that Daniel kept getting promoted to one leadership position after the other. So he goes in, he's stripped of his identity, he's taken captive from his homeland, but then there's something about Daniel that causes the kings to see, hey, this is a different guy, this is a completely different person, and they kept promoting him, they kept giving him places of power and positions that allowed him to be able to rule over and to lead others. It begs the question, why was Daniel being promoted? Well, Daniel was being promoted because Daniel was faithful. Daniel was faithful to his God in every season, and because of that, God gave him favor among men. See, Daniel, here's the deal about him. If you look at his life, it didn't matter to Daniel whether he was in position or not. He wasn't vying for position. He wasn't looking for titles. He wasn't looking for opportunity. Rather, for Daniel, he had committed in his heart, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, I'm going to be faithful to my God. And as a result, God gave him favor. God opened up doors. God opened up opportunities for him, even when he wasn't looking, because he was faithful to God. God was faithful to him. So Daniel was able to experience this in his life because he was faithful to God. Daniel's purpose was not based on position or title. Rather, he lived his life based on serving and pleasing his God. You know, too often what happens is many people have what I like to call this someday when mentality, and that's what they live by. Someday when I get this opportunity, then I will do this. Someday when I have more money, then I will tithe, I'll give to missions, I'll be generous when I get more money. Someday when I have more time, it's just so busy right now, but when I have time, then I'll start serving and then I'll start building the church and helping out when I can. Someday when. But for Daniel, he didn't have a someday when mentality. That was foreign to him. That was not at all how he rolled. The way that Daniel rolled was like this: no matter what, I'm going to serve my God. No matter what, I'm going to faithfully serve him and worship him and honor him in every situation that I'm in every season, I'm going to serve my Lord. See, there's a difference that's there. There's a difference between the someday mentality and there's a difference between no matter what mentality. And what distinguished Daniel from others, what made him a world changer, is that he was committed to his God in every season, every moment, every time. It wasn't when he got a position, but whether he did or whether he didn't, he was going to serve the Lord. So Daniel made this commitment. He had resolved in his heart, no matter what, I will serve the Lord. And Daniel, when you look at his life, he went on to change two kingdoms, and he influenced many kings and ultimately changed history. I want to tell you today, just as you are right now, you are capable. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're capable. Just as you are, you're capable. You're not too old, you're not too young, you're not too washed up, you're not too messed up. You have the time, you have all that you need, just as you are capable, and God is calling each and every one of us to rise to this and say, you know what, I can't keep making excuses. Instead, I have to, in this season, in this moment, make the most of the opportunity that God has given me, prove myself faithful to him. Now, if you're wondering, okay, Tom, all right, what do you mean by that? What are you talking about? Prove yourself capable. Let me give you some simple ways that you can apply this right now, immediately. As you walk out of here, here are some ways that you can do it. One, you can serve God faithfully. You can serve him faithfully. What do I mean by that? Spend time in his presence. Have devotions. Do what he's calling you to do. If you haven't been water baptized, then say, all right, the Bible says this is a step of obedience, so I need to do that. I need to get water baptized. Whatever he's calling you to do, make a commitment to say, God, you asked, I'll listen, and I'll follow. A second thing that you can do is that you can lead your family. Lead those that God has given under your care and lead them into the presence of the Lord. The best thing that you can do is say, okay, for my family, I'm going to surround them with God's people in God's house every opportunity that I am. I'm going to make sure that they're in environments that are going to draw them closer to the Lord. This is why church attendance is not something that should be, whenever I feel like it. But this is why we stress regular and consistent church attendance, because we know the impact that it can have on you and your family. So lead your family. Third thing that you can do is impact others through your gifts and passions. You know, every single person that's sitting here today, you're not a carbon copy of someone else. You have been uniquely wired and gifted. You are the only you that God has created. And what he wants to do is he wants to work through you and your giftings and your passions to impact other people's lives. That's why we talk about Grow Track. What's Grow Track? Grow Track is a place where you can go, where you can find out, how can I use my gifts to serve others and to build the church? This is why we talk about this every single week. You got to get into Grow Track. You got to get into Grow Track, because God didn't just create you to live life. He wants you to influence others. He wants you to impact others. And this is how you can do it. So if you're wondering, how can I prove myself capable? I mean, I'm not like Daniel. I don't have this position of power. I just gave you three simple ways that doesn't require any title, any position, whether you're a kid, adult, it does not matter. There are ways that each and every one of us can make the most of the opportunity that we're in and prove, like Daniel, that we are capable. What you do today impacts your faithfulness tomorrow. Amen? The second quality of a world changer that we see in Daniel's life is that he lived out of conviction. Daniel lived out of conviction. For Daniel, when his faith was being attacked, instead of going into hiding, you know what he did? He went back to the source of his faith. Take a look at verse 4 and 5 for a moment. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find grounds for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." So you're probably wondering, why are these men trying to find fault with Daniel? Well, here's the deal. They were jealous of Daniel. They're looking at Daniel, and they're seeing the success that he's having, and now Daniel's about to rise in power again, and these other men are like, wait a minute, we cannot let this guy rise in power. No. We need to do what we can to keep him down. So what do? They start looking. They start searching. They look at his background. They look at his history. They're checking everything out about him to see, hey, there's got to be something wrong with this guy. He's not clean. He's not perfect. But what do they find? Nothing. There's nothing wrong with him, right? They can't find any fault at all with Daniel. So what they do is this. A group of them get together and they say, since we can't find a fault with him, maybe we can find a law, or create a law, not find a law, but create a law that can be put into motion that's going to really trap Daniel and cause him to stumble. And so they go to the king and they, you know, get up to the king and they're like, all right, king, we've got an amazing, amazing decree. You're going to love this. This is something that you're going to sign right away. What you need to do is you need to put a decree in motion that says that if people don't worship you, and if they worship any other god, but they worship anything besides you for the next 30 days, then what's facing them is the death penalty. And you know how that's going to be? In the lion's den. So, king, we love you, we worship you, we honor you, and we want to make sure that everybody else is doing the same. So what does the king do? I like that. You guys are my people. You care about me. Let's put it into motion. So the king puts this decree in motion. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to point out that's very interesting about this that I think we've got to take notice of. First, in order for them to create this decree, they were watching Daniel's lifestyle closely. This decree was put in motion because they were trying to trap Daniel, right? So they were watching Daniel and going, all right, what can we do? What can we trap him with? And they were watching him closely, which is a reminder to every single one of us, whether we know it or not, people are watching us. People are looking at us, how we respond to situations, how we face opposition in our life. They're watching you whether you know it or not. So we've got to take notice. We've got to be on guard. But they also recognize something else. They recognize that Daniel was a man of conviction. Namely, that Daniel was a man of prayer. And I want to suggest that they went to the king with this request versus something else because they knew Daniel wasn't going to cave in, but he would break the law because he was going to be praying to his God. He was a man of convictions. And we see the truth of this conviction as we look at how Daniel responds in verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day, prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. It's interesting to note what Daniel didn't do. He didn't say, all right, he didn't try to go against these guys and say, guys, what are you thinking? And do this all-out verbal assault against his opposition. He didn't go hide and cower down in fear. He didn't say, God, where are you? And start questioning God in all of this. No, it says that he went to the chamber, the windows were open, and he prayed, I love this part, as he had done previously. Daniel wasn't deterred by what he was facing. Rather, Daniel continued to do what he had always done. Prayer had always been his way of connecting with God and communicating with God, and that wasn't going to change because all of a sudden there was a decree and his life was going to be on the line. No. He said, this is what I've committed to do. This is what I've resolved in my heart to do. I am going to be a man of prayer. I'm going to seek the Lord. And here's the deal. Daniel knew this as well. That this was not just a physical attack, it was a spiritual attack. Therefore, he had to exercise and use spiritual weapons, of which one is prayer. Amen? So Daniel said, I cannot face this on my own. It's an attack, but I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. I want to suggest to you today that prayer should not be our last resort, but it should be our first line of defense. It should be the very first thing that we do when we're faced against opposition. We should be on our knees praying and seeking the Lord instead of trying to make things work. Instead of trying to attack it on our own, we need to go to the one who can bring about victory, and that's God. Amen? Daniel knew that the law prescribed for anyone who would do what he was doing, but that didn't stop him because he was a man of conviction. You know, I believe if Daniel was here and he was to say, if you were to ask him, what are your convictions? He would share these with you, and we see this from his life. One is that God's word is the primary authority in my life. It doesn't matter what man says. It doesn't matter what a king says. But this is what my God says, and that supersedes everything else. Secondly, he would say that the conviction was that I am going to honor God above anything else in my life, including how others are going to perceive me. In spite of how others might think of me, perceive me to be, instead of how this is going to look, that doesn't matter. I'm going to honor my God. I'm going to take every opportunity that I have to bring him honor. He was more concerned about God than he was about himself. Thirdly, he knew this, prayer is the most powerful weapon in the life of a believer. He prayed despite the fact that there was a death sentence that was going to be awaiting him. I want to suggest to you this morning that when you live with biblical conviction, you will receive supernatural courage. When you live with biblical conviction, you will receive supernatural courage. What Daniel did in that moment was a courageous act. It was a courageous act, but Daniel knew that when he got down on his knees and that when he prayed and when he sought the Lord, that the same God that had brought him to that point, the same God that had got him and led him from victory to victory was going to give him the strength that he needed to stand firm no matter what stood in his way, even if it meant going to the lion's den. Daniel wasn't hiding and praying, but he was in his room doing what he always did, knowing that his God was going to come on his behalf. Let me ask you, what is the first thing that you do when you're faced with bad news? What is the first thing that you do when you hear that others are coming against you or you're being attacked in one way, shape, or form? Daniel's response is instructive of our lives today and how we should approach things. We need to go to God in prayer. Victory is not going to come about in our lives by our own efforts, but it's going to come by God working in and through us. That's what's going to lead us to victory. Daniel recognized that. Now we've got to recognize that. We've got to live that out. We've got to not exhaust all of our options, then go to pray. We've got to say, I'm going to pray, and then God, you lead me, I will follow. There are two different things. One leads to a world changer, and the other one leads to you. Really, honestly, it leads to a path of destruction. We end up creating more of a mess when we get in the way of what God is wanting to do in our lives. Amen? A consistent prayer life is critical. You can't be strong, you can't be courageous until you pray. I do want to mention here, this is why as a church, we so emphasize the Wednesday night prayer meeting. Because as a church, and Pastor John has mentioned this countless time, he says that when you pray, anything is possible. But when you don't pray, you're on your own. So we believe that for us as a church, we're going to be a church that prays. But we also believe that for you and for your families, that when you pray, you're going to be able to receive all that you need from the Lord for this life. And that's why we say, hey, come on Wednesday nights. Come in the middle of the week, because it doesn't matter how your Monday or Tuesday or even Wednesday morning has been. If you'll come into the presence of the Lord, you'll walk away strengthened and encouraged, because that's what God does every single time when we're in his presence. So we have to commit ourselves to being men and women of convictions. We've got to live this out. We've got to be people who will do this if we're going to be a world changer. Well, a world changer proves they're capable. They live out of conviction, but there's a third thing that they do. A world changer is confident in God's control. As we read on, the men see Daniel praying to God, and they immediately go to the king. They've got him. Exactly what they thought would happen, they've got Daniel, and so they go to the king. Now, before we look at this verse, I do want to point out, remember this, the king likes Daniel, right? The king is about to place him even in a higher position of authority. So this is how he feels about Daniel. But these guys, they go up to the king, and take a look at what happens in Daniel chapter 6. So they go up to him, they remind him, hey, here's the law that you put in motion, it can't be reversed. And so the king, in verse 16, commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually deliver you. A stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. This is a significant moment. Daniel had prayed. Daniel had sought the Lord. Daniel heard the decree, but he trusted in his God. And where did that get him? In the lion's den. That doesn't seem right. Shouldn't God have rescued him out of the situation? Shouldn't God have somehow caused him to escape? I mean, that would have been awesome. That would have been, you know, at the very end, God comes through and he's taken, he doesn't even make it into the lion's den. That would have been great, right? But here's the deal. Even though he was thrown into the lion's den, what we see about Daniel is he wasn't complaining. He wasn't worried. He was confident that, okay, God, I'm in the lion's den, but I'm going to trust that you have everything under control. Daniel was confident in his God. Daniel understood that no matter what, his God would come through for him. He doesn't know when, he doesn't know how, it may be at the 11th hour, but that he could trust that God was going to take care of him. In fact, I want to suggest that Daniel was both confident in this situation And the way that he lived his life was so confident in his God that the king took notice. Did you know that in that verse that we read right there, what did the king say? The king, he's not a believer of the one true God, okay? The king doesn't worship the same God that Daniel worships, yet he doesn't say, Daniel, may my God deliver you. He doesn't say, may a God deliver you. He says, may your God deliver you. The king, who's not a follower of the one true God, recognized, okay, Daniel, I've watched your life. I've seen you, and you know what? May your God deliver you out of this situation. He is saying, Daniel, call out to your God, because I believe if there's anything that could happen, that's the only way that a miracle could take place. Daniel's conviction to honor God impacted the king's confidence in Daniel's God. That's pretty impressive, which is a reminder to us that when we're walking through situations and when we're walking through difficulties and we're walking through challenges in life, it's not just impacting our lives and our faith isn't just being built as we're walking through it, but others are being encouraged by how we're walking through it. Others are taking notice. Others are looking. And just like God worked in this situation to touch the king's heart, God is going to use your situation and how you walk through it to touch the people around you, to touch unbelievers' hearts. It's such a good reminder that our faith impacts others. And that's what happens in this story. Take a look at verse 19. As he came near to the den, this is the king, it's the next day, where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" At this point, the king doesn't know. At this point, the king has no idea, is Daniel alive or not? He hasn't slept all night. He's wondering, oh my goodness, is Daniel still alive? Look at verse 21. Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you. O king, I've done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found in him because he had trusted in his God. That's the key to the entire story. Because he had trusted in his God. How did Daniel come through the situation? How did Daniel walk through this lion's den experience? Because he trusted in his God, and God proved to be faithful in his situation. Let me ask you this morning, are you walking through a lion's den experience? Are you walking through a situation or a circumstance that really feels like your back is up against the wall? For you, it might be your marriage that's your lion's den experience. For others, it may be financial. It may be a provision that you're seeking, and that's your lion's den experience. You're going, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Others of you, the lion's den experience might be life-controlling issues, and you're going, I don't think I can break free from this. I don't think I can make it. Maybe it's a family relationship. Whatever the case might be, what God wants you to know today is this: if you will trust him, you are going to see his power and his supernatural power and strength at work in your life to transform your situation and bring about a result that you and I can't even imagine. But it begins with us trusting the Lord. It begins with us saying, God, I submit to you, knowing that your plans and your ways are higher than my ways. For Daniel in this story, he had done that. He trusted in his God. He said, no matter what happens to me, I'm going to trust that you've got the right outcome for my situation. And as a result, not only did Daniel live to tell about it, but his testimony impacted thousands. Take a look at this in verse 25. Then the king Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers, he rescues, he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who saved Daniel from the power of the lions. This is an unbelieving king who is now a believer because Daniel said, I have resolved in my heart that I'm going to trust my Lord no matter what. Thousands were forever changed because of what Daniel did. Daniel committed to be a world changer. Notice the difference between the two decrees. In the first decree that the king issued, he called for the people to pray to a human king. The second decree, he said, I want you to pray to the King of Kings. In the first decree, he sentenced disobedient people to death. But in the second decree, he pointed all people to the God of life. One man's conviction. One man who said, I am committed to my God no matter what, transformed an entire kingdom. You may never know the difference that you're going to make. You may never be able to see it fleshed out, but here's the deal. You were called to be a world changer. You were called to be an influencer. You were called to change the environment that God has placed you in. And if you will take hold of that, if you will see yourself as a world changer, I'm telling you, what's ahead of you is greater than what God is behind you. What's in front of you is going to be far beyond what you're planning for yourself, because what God has in store for you is something great. What God has for you is something incredible. What he did for Daniel, he wants to do for you. But you've got to surrender. You've got to say, God, not my will, but thine be done. And that's when you'll see what Daniel saw. God at work to make him a world changer. Amen? You are a world changer. Remind yourself of that. Day in and day out, say, I was created for more. I was created for more. I am a world changer. Let's pray.